Right at the beginning of paper 117, which is old, single column, page 1278. All right. Who'd like to start us off here? Got a reader. Okay. The only thing is just to make sure everyone is on the point that they want you to be thinking of and just reading that title. Like I've pointed out a number of times as we've been going forward here through these five papers. Those first two papers, those are individuality viewpoint names. The Supreme Being, the Almighty Supreme. Those are individuality names. This is the unity viewpoint name, God the Supreme. So, you know that even if they talk about individuality, they're wanting you to appreciate it better, how it relates when you look at it from the unity viewpoint first. And to understand, the Supreme now in a truer fashion, so that it's truly begins to go beyond just some sort of an exalted individuality notion. You know, you take what you understand of yourself as an individual and try to somehow, extrapolate that into some higher notion. They're saying, can you really, take the truth of that, but really bring in a more direct unity viewpoint perspective? And so you'll see we're going to go through a few, some things again that you've already gone through. If you notice the title of the first section here. But they want, they're obviously wanting to add something to what they gave you, when they went through it the first time.
All right. God the Supreme. To the extent that we do the will of God and whatever universe station we may have our existence, in that measure, the almighty potential of the Supreme becomes one step more actual. The will of God is the purpose of the first source and center as it is potentialized in the three absolutes, personalized in the eternal Son, conjoined for universe action in the infinite Spirit, and eternalized in the everlasting patterns of paradise. And God the Supreme is becoming the highest finite manifestation of the total will of God.
One thing to notice, they're hearkening to, again, in this first paragraph, that in the latter part of the first paragraph there, you've got original, and potential and actual. Again, we're going all the way back there to the beginning of the first of these five papers, the Supreme Being, where they were saying, okay, you start with the seven absolutes, infinity, let's collect the seven into three, the original, the actual and the potential. So you can see they're invoking that, potentialized in the three absolutes, and then the three absolute actuals there. And you'll see they expand on that in the next couple little paragraphs. But the first thing is that very first sentence. How are they wanting us to start out here? Okay, to the extent that we do the will of God in whatever universe station we may have our existence, in that measure the almighty potential of the Supreme becomes one step more actual. All right, so first of all, let's remind ourselves about the latter part of that whole bit about the almighty potential. In other words, how does that facet of deity called the capital A, Almighty, the Almighty, how does that come into existence? And we can, you can reflect back to this just to visualize it really easily again. Just think of those two columns of the sevenfold. So you have an action coming down through the creators. Now on the creator side of the sevenfold. It gets down there into the cosmic levels. And from spirit through mind to matter. You have those three absolute potentials. You have a potential to bridge across. And of course, the creators do. The creators, you know, actualize that potential across that, you know, and in those power beings there in the cosmic levels, they are grabbing a hold of that matter and mastering it. So from spirit through mind to matter, you know, it's fully linked and mastered. And then up through those controllers, up to the supreme level, that mastery is actualized on the supreme level as the Almighty. So you've got that down, across, and up. And how it's so fundamentally, like we pointed out in back a ways, how it's fundamentally tied to the triodities of that, you know, that spirit, mind, matter, from potential to actual, and bridging that across and bringing the Almighty into existence. You can see that's in there. They're pointing that out. You know, the Almighty potential of the Supreme becomes one step more actual. See, going from potential to actual. Now, do you, as a creature, have a parallel phenomenon, you know, to that, to, you know, what's being expressed there? Remember when we introduced this, like I pointed out, you know, down there, the sevenfold is engaging down here at the creation and creature level here, the universes and the creatures. And yes, you do. You're attempting to bridge that gap as well, bringing your beingness into full integration with your thingness, bringing, you know, the personality into full engagement of your identity. Okay, and that's related to the beginning here. You know, okay, do the will of God. So what's the key sentence that we all remember back in the Adjuster Papers? The doing of the will of God is nothing more or less than an exhibition of creature willingness to share the inner life with God. Okay, and you need to remember every word because it's all important. Okay, so the doing of the will of God. Okay, so you've got that creature willingness to share the inner life with God. That's where it starts. You know, you consecrating your will to the perfect will of God the Father. But that's not all the sentence. The sentence is about the doing of the will of God, just like here, do the will of God. Okay? So it's one thing, you know, to recognize the perfect will of God and consecrate your will to that will. But you've got to complete the process. Exhibition. You know, you have to actualize that recognition. You have to consecrate your mind to the perfect harmony of God the Mother. It's a two-step process. Start with the Father, and then consecrate your mind, the actuality of your mind, to look like the harmony. Form it to match the harmony of the cosmos, the cosmic harmony of God the Mother. Okay, so how does that specifically tie into this? So that first step, the recognition of personal responsibility. You make that step because God the Father has initiated you to do thus. You recognize you have a personal responsibility. That's the, you know, tied to the creature willingness to share the inner life of God. But you've got to go beyond that recognition. You need to actually use that to establish self-control. You have to take that personal responsibility recognition and actually control your material mindal self. That material-minded self needs to be mastered. See? See the parallel. You know, you start with, you know, what comes down from the Universal Father, personal recognition. And then you master that self, you know, like the masters here, like the master physical controller is going to master every automaton, you know, the control of every automaton. You do the same thing. You know, that's how you do the will of God. Okay, and so obviously, as the Supreme is, you know, in particular here, the Almighty part of the Supreme is actualizing in that process. So you're doing the same thing. Okay? That's what that's the recognition they're trying to invoke there in the beginning. You know, and see how important it is, you know, to take that next step, to go beyond what you get from a spiritual consciousness, the recognition, you know, of personal responsibility, basically, you know, that creature willingness. You've got to take it the next step. You have to relate it to the cosmos. It has to come out of, you know, what from a material viewpoint is the abstract, you know, the spiritual, purely spiritual domain, and it has to get into the mind so that it can engage the material world. Okay. Exhibition of creature willingness. Okay. It takes both the father and the mother, see, to achieve that doing of the will of God. Okay, so that's, just keep that in mind. See, that of all the things they could have started out with, they start out with that. Where the only way to fully understand that is with the mother. You know, to begin to really notice that there's a difference between recognizing and actually doing. And of course, you know, Andre pointed out just recently how, you know, how did they start these five papers? You know, a similar way. See, this is, they're trying to get you to really notice that. Take that next step. Okay, you've got spiritual consciousness. Now, you know, why? Ask yourself why you have spiritual consciousness. It's not so you can just sit there in your own little bubble and be spiritual. You know, it's meant to be used for something. What? You know, you are to pattern spirit with personality. You know, coordinate mind with that directing spirit, and master the physical with that mind, with that coordinated mind. That is the whole point. All right, so let's go to the next little one here.
If all grand universers should ever relatively achieve the full living of the will of God, then would the time-space creations be settled in light and life, and then would the Almighty, the deity potential of supremacy, become factual in the emergence of the divine personality of God the Supreme.
Okay, notice again. Does it, you know, the full living of the will of God? Not just creature willingness, but actually living it. An exhibition of creature willingness. You know, it's so important that they stressed it again. Now, notice, see again how they're stressing. Here they have it actually, you know, written out, the capital A Almighty. Okay, that facet of deity, the Almighty. And they have a parenthetical there explaining what it is. It's the deity potential of supremacy. Another, you know, a couple little details to notice there. Deity is not capitalized. Why? Okay. If you go back and read about the three absolute potentials, they talk about those three reservoirs of potential. They talk about two of them as being deity absolutes, lowercase d, you know, the ones that are called the deity absolute and the universal absolute. And then there's a non-deity absolute, the unqualified absolute. When they're speaking so directly about potential, they try to help you to recognize that by not capitalizing D. You know, it's, you know, so it's like the potential, you know, if it was actual, it would be capital. deity potential of supremacy. See, and again, very closely getting you to think of the Almighty as something that's going from potential to actual. Okay. Now, some other, another little fun thing they threw in there, right at the very beginning. If all grand universers, okay, universers is a once word.
Only once.
They use, and interestingly, it's also a mistake in the concordance. They have it under universes instead of universers as a once word. But why would they purposely say it this way? Why wouldn't they say, if all beings in the grand universe should? Why purposely coin, you know, basically a word, say it that way? Okay, remember what we've said. When you see the word universe, that's a cosmic system. Okay, it's a whole. They're purposely emphasizing, you know, individual members are not connected with each other except in relation to the whole, you know, and through the individuality of the whole. So again, just the way they've stated that, they're wanting to think of yourself as a member of a of this total finite cosmic system, you know, and you're only connected through the individuality of the whole. Just the very way they word that, so that you don't think of it. See, if you said, you know, the individuals or the beings or whatever in the grand universe, then the two of you are, you know, have a separateness that's that moves you away from the full truth of it. It's not like you somehow are these self-existent little island universes that happen to be rattling around in this great big container called the grand universe. You know, there is no grand universe without the beings, and then there are no beings without the grand universe. I mean, the two go hand in hand. Okay? The whole, you know, and the parts of that whole, and how it all comes together as an all are through the individuality of the whole. Yeah, you had a...
Oh, well, I was just going to say is that it was also a mistake in the Foundation version, but not in their most up-to-date...
Well, no, not...
Where they had universes...
No, it's not a mistake in the book.
No, it actually is a mistake in
the book. Oh, in the book.
It's universes.
Ah, it's even worse. Okay. Yeah. Universers. I mean, obviously, if all grand universes, that's nonsensical. There's only one, okay? You don't know all grand universes. I mean, that's silly, okay?
You ought to edit all these books, Chris.
Yeah.
In that first sentence, if is the word I want to ask a question about, mm-hmm. I'm assuming that the word's relatively achieved,
mm-hmm.
it means relative to each other and part of the whole. Whole distinction. But right. Why would they start this whole thing? Because it's not an if.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to happen. Why would they say if?
Simply because if you look really closely, there's a number of times when they are very, very conservative in their wording. They know how many mysteries lie between here and there. You know, they know how many things on the order of Majestan and beyond lie between here and there. A simple extrapolation says when.
Well, but God, you know, the Supreme already exists in.
Yeah. And there's another reason to maybe, if you want to be very conservative about it, to hedge your wording. It's like, well, if the end is already in existence, then maybe there's some things that are not so simple extrapolation when about it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's something about it that we just don't even comprehend right now, where before it just sort of linearly goes all the way to the end in a when. Maybe there's some sort of you know, we get to a certain point and maybe it comes down to us, and so we really don't actually achieve that way. I mean, that's kind of, they're thinking of things like that.
All right. Well, Well, I mean, yeah. I'm assuming that they already know, and we already know something
mm-hmm.
about the super additive consequences, mm-hmm. especially when we're approaching that level of warp speed.
Yeah. They don't fully. That's the thing about the Supreme, is the Supreme is never actualized before. And so the ones that know what it's like when the Supreme actualizes, well, they're way above our...
They're not talking.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They're not... The infinite deities and the consummator of universe.
And the architects of the master universe.
They may have some ideas, but even the architects.
You
know, collectively, the first three levels of God, the sevenfold, if they should ever get into full agreement, you know, the creator sons and creator spirits, the ancients of days, and seven master spirits, plus the master architects, you know, should they ever, you know, collaborate, maybe they could do that. But the point, this is how this strikes me. If all grand universes should ever relatively achieve the full living of the will of God, is in a way, it's suggesting to us, you know, it's not a done deal until you all do it.
Right.
And it's
I mean, it's along the lines of just taking the wording that you can probably even remember when they're talking about you're trying to contemplate some endpoint to the absonite. If you go back and read some of those things, you know, and they're worded very similar to this. I mean, again, they're, you know, I mean, you know, if you could ask them about it, they would say, well, yeah, I mean, our notion is, you know, it's, you know, by if I just mean, you know, that you can, if, you know, it seems like apparently there is an extrapolation to that point, you know, and so I imagine, you know, if we're there, you know, I mean, so, but you can take it a little more strongly than that. I mean, it, you know, that they occasionally are very, I mean, at times, I mean, you'll read and it's like, I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's dead clear to me.
Maybe this mighty messenger, so.
Yeah. Well, what does he know?
Yeah, you'll see, you know, that's an important thing too. If you can remember that, not this first section, but in the second section to bring that up. When we talk about his comments he makes about his nature in section 2, you know, it'll tie into that. All right, so anyway, you've got all this kind of whole and individuality, the whole and the full living of the will of God. Again, you know, if you recognize it, very mother-like. But that aside, we've got this almighty potential to actual. Okay, now look at the next paragraph.
When an evolving mind becomes attuned to the circuits of cosmic mind, when an evolving universe becomes stabilized after the pattern of the central universe, when an advancing spirit contacts the united ministry of the master spirits, when an ascending mortal personality finally attunes to the divine leading of the indwelling adjuster, then has the actuality of the Supreme become real by one more degree in the universes. Then has the divinity of supremacy advanced one more step toward cosmic realization.
Okay, now notice...
Seven wins.
Yeah, that's right.
Now notice the difference at the end there. Okay? We're not talking about potentiality to actuality. Now we're talking actuality to reality. Okay? Then has the actuality of the Supreme become real? Yeah, by one more degree, you know. Or even that, but when they say divinity of supremacy, I pointed that out before. You can condense those three words into one word, supremacy with a lowercase s. Okay. In other words, the actuality, you know, more of, the action there. See, so the actuality is advanced one more step towards reality. So they basically say it two different ways, stressing that. Okay, so if the Almighty is about going from potential to actual, what's about going from actual to real? That's what this paragraph's about. Like I said, I mean, you start on the first paragraph and they're reminding you of the original, and then you have the potential in the second paragraph, and then the actual in the third paragraph, and they're trying to get you to put all the pieces together. If the potential side of it is more the Almighty, what do we call the actual aspect of it? Look at these whens. When an evolving mind becomes attuned to the circuits of cosmic mind, when you've consecrated your mind to the cosmic harmony of God the Mother, when an evolving universe becomes stabilized after the pattern of the central universe. We were pointing out last time how they were stressing that the Mother is the reason why it's creator, controller, upholder order here, and why the Mother is next to the controllers. It says that mastery, is through mind, which is a Mother function. Okay, just like we were talking, to master your material mind. When an advancing spirit contacts the United Ministry of the Master Spirits, well, think of yourself, okay? You don't do that until, you have graduated out of that immediate presence of your super universe, Master Spirit, and then you begin, especially as you go out as a finaliter, functioning in all seven super universes, then you're in the collective super universe level, like we talked about, it's cosmic level 3. In a collective super universe, that's when you're engaging the Master Spirits collectively in the mindedness through those creative agencies, Mother agencies, the Ancients of Days. Okay, remember your God the Father seeking, you get to paradise, you go out, your God the Mother revealing. See, your God the Mother revealing when you're you're in contact with the United Ministry of the Master Spirits. When an ascending mortal personality finally attunes to the divine leaning of the indwelling adjuster. We're going up the Mother column, and there's a fragment of the infinite polar. There's the adjuster. Okay. Mother, 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 Mother. Okay? That's what this paragraph's about. Right. See, when you up there where you had the lowercase d deity potential of supremacy, what's the deity capital D, the deity actuality of supremacy? We went through that carefully, and we went through total deity. What do you have there in the supreme level of the functional levels of total deity? Okay, besides the supreme, you have the Trinity of supremacy functioning there in relationship to the infinite upholder. And that relationship was called the Mother. So on the one hand, you have the Almighty, the deity potential of supremacy, lowercase d. And on the other hand, you have the Mother, the deity, capital D, actuality of supremacy. Those are the two facets of the supreme. See, and how they're trying to get you to recognize that by taking the seven absolutes of infinity and splitting them into those three groups, and then, getting you to recognize the other side of the original, the Trinity, as opposed to the first, source, and center, so that you can recognize what other twofold pattern comes from the original, besides those three absolute actuals and the three absolute potentials. On the total finite level, you have the Almighty and the Mother. Okay. All right, so then that'll last a little bit.
The parts and individuals of the grand universe evolve as a reflection of the total evolution of the Supreme, while in turn the Supreme is the synthetic cumulative total of all grand universe evolution. From the mortal viewpoint, both are evolutionary and experiential reciprocals.
Okay, so they're invoking it again. I pointed this out in what we read last time, where you've got a top-down and a bottom-up pair. Now let's look at it, how they're talking about them here. Take that second part first. The Supreme is the synthetic cumulative total of all grand universe evolution. That synthetic cumulative total, we've been talking about that, you know, summarizer, or just the synthesis, you know, really directly the power personality synthesis. That's the Almighty. Okay. You know, that's the name for that. That facet of the Supreme. So look at the first part. They evolve as a reflection of the total evolution of the Supreme. Who has a totality attitude? Mother. That's one of the functional expressions of that facet of deity we call the mother, totality attitude. Okay. So you have, what's the picture you have here then? You have the mother, you know, is reaching down and engaging the parts and the individuals and evolving them. So the mother acts on the parts and the individuals, and they evolve. And then there's a reaction to those parts and individuals evolving. The Almighty. So the mother acts, and there's a reaction, and the Almighty evolves. Okay, so you know, very much you have a top down, you know, and then a reflex bottom up. The mother, the Almighty. Okay, so they're definitely, you know, in this preface, they're trying to, you know, sum it all up for you so that you can really see what they want you to think about in detail as you go in. It really couldn't be much clearer if you just carefully notice everything that's in those sentences. You know, it's really a pretty amazing preface if you think about it. Think about how long we took to talk through just the preface of this paper. Okay, it's not sort of, you know, just some sort of fluffy thing that they stuck at the beginning. It reminds you of what I pointed out, you know, to notice that section 6 in this paper is literally at the center of the 5 papers. When you count the sections, you count the 0 sections. They're not fluff. They're very significant. Okay?
That's how everybody looks at the Supreme papers.
As fluff. Fluff, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Capital F.
That's why he mentioned that.
But it is, you know, a tendency. It's like, oh, it's just a preface. You know, let me get to the meat of it. No, the preface is meat. Just like the foreword is far from an introduction. Okay?
Isn't that
just a quick comment and then?
Yeah, isn't that indirectly a slam on the mother? I mean, she's just fluff, you know, there's no intelligence there. I mean, come on.
When you were talking about the totality reflecting down,
right.
There's a paradox in my mind because the Supreme, you know, let's say we're back in the first super universe, time has just started. Well, that totality is still there, pushing things forward until, you know, the if comes about. As an evolved being, she's just started, or the Supreme has just begun. Or at this point, who knows, maybe 80% done, or whatever, we can worry about the numbers. But if we're saying that the totality has kind of already seen the whole thing, then it's that outside of time consciousness,
right.
Already, already faded complete
right.
consciousness that's yeah. saying, okay, I see myself as done, and yeah. now it's just a matter of making that done.
Right, and the reason that that can be like that fundamentally is because these two parts, the Almighty and the Mother, okay, the Almighty is just about the finite.
Okay.
When the finite is all said and done, so is the Almighty.
Okay.
The Almighty is bottled within the Supreme Being. The Mother goes on. Because the Mother is greater than the finite. The Mother is greater than the absolute. The Mother is greater than the absolute. Okay? You know, the fullness of God the Mother is just like God the Father. It arcs over the whole picture. God the Supreme, God the Ultimate, and God the Absolute. Okay? And so, you know, there, when all, the finite is all said and done, there is the absinite Mother, the absinite upholder. Or if you want to look at it in that full big picture, you still have, you know, you may have done all that you can do with the finiteness of the Mother, but you haven't, you know, hardly begun to do what you can do with the absiniteness and the absoluteness of the Mother. See, the Mother goes on. And that's, see, and because the Mother has that transcendent component into it, you know, it to literally see the Mother is coming down and then the Supreme wells up, I mean, the Almighty wells up to give rise to the Supreme. Yeah, but the Mother is coming down from above the finite.
So, are you saying that when they say a reflection of the total evolution,
mm-hmm.
that word total there is that total, almost with a capital T,
yeah.
of not just
the finite, individuality of the whole.
Well, not right. yeah, but not just the finite.
Well, yeah.
Beyond,
right.
beyond the finite, absolute, and absolute.
Right, yes. But of course, you know, we are trying to just think about the downstepped expression that engages right. the total finite. But right. yeah, it has these roots that go above that, yes.
I appreciate the distinction you're making there, and I was thinking about it. I said, well, wait a minute, what about the outer space level and all that? And then it occurred to me, no, what it is, it's still going to be on the finite, the Almighty is functioning. It's just that once it's worked to actually encapsulate the grand universe, who knows how that's going to look, but all of a sudden, or very quickly, the first outer space level comes under control of the Supreme on the finite level. The
right,
finite,
yeah. All the finiteness finite gets done out there.
Yeah, so yeah. all of a sudden nothing doesn't work. No more accidents out there.
Right.
And that's just a phenomenal thought.
Right, and see, and the thing that not even they know is just how extensive is that evolutionary completion in the outer space levels. One would suspect it would be to a high degree, you know, that there would be completed stuff in the first outer space level. There's an awful lot of stuff going on in the second, you know, that we already can see. But see, you know, there's this mystery of in terms of the stage that you're going to have in those four outer space levels, how much of that stage is going to have come into existence through a finite evolutionary process? And how much is going to be eventuated?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you could speculate, well, maybe it's great. I mean, a high percentage will be evolved in the first and a small percentage just directly eventuated. You know, you know, you could speculate that or whatever. I mean, no one knows. And they probably love to speculate about this. You know, you could even speculate that the entire thing is going to have some significant thing. So that the fourth outer space level has this incredible geometric evolution. You know, in the last days of the finite.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. Well, it allows us to understand, you know, maybe one factual statement. The critical mass that is necessary for the completion of the Almighty is the grand universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that once that critical mass is reached,
all bets are off.
That's right.
You don't know. No one knows.
It's like having added that last little bit of plutonium to, you know, a bomb that makes it a supercritical mass, and boom, chain reaction.
It again, it ties back to saying, you know, you can, you can. I think you're justified in putting a fair amount of thought into the if there, see?
Yeah.
Because of this, and we talked about that, you know, I don't know, last week or the week before, this whole issue of how evolution might have kind of two stages. You know, a part that really pretty much gets the personality issues done, and then a real geometric physical second phase. So, anyway.
Talk about riding away.
Do you want to read some more?
Yeah, do you want me to?
Sure, if you don't mind, you can just stay put. Okay.
Nature of the Supreme Being. The Supreme is the beauty of physical harmony, the truth of intellectual meaning, and the goodness of spiritual value. He is the sweetness of true success and the joy of everlasting achievement. He is the oversoul of the grand universe and consciousness of the finite cosmos, the completion of finite reality, and the personification of creator-creature experience. Throughout all future eternity, God the Supreme will voice the reality of volitional experience in the Trinity relationships of deity.
Okay, so here we are. You look at the title of this section. Yeah, we're going right back to the beginning. You know, this first paper in the five, we're back to the Supreme Being. They're wanting us to take another look at the he-ness and how the he-ness fits into the picture. Couple things about that directly, the he-ness. You see that last little line, this throughout all future eternity, God the Supreme will voice the reality of volitional experience in the Trinity relationships of deity. There's two experiential trinities, you know, the first and second experiential trinities. God the Supreme is in both of them. That's what they're referring to there. You know, so both the ultimate trinity and the absolute trinity, there you've got God the Supreme as that voice they're referring to. You know, why would they emphasize that? It's like, well, what does that have to do? Well, Trinity, Mother, okay? Reminding you, you know, of this tight relationship between the Trinity and the Mother. And you see them saying he. And one of the key he things they bring in there, they're going to talk, you know, they have a whole section on oversoul. Thinking of the he as the oversoul, okay? How does that work? Why do they use that term oversoul? Well, it must be because there's some parallel to my soul, so I can understand it if I think about my soul. So let's do it. Remember, a while back we got a really clear picture of how to think about our soul. We have this sphere of our mortal self. You know, and above that, transcendent of that, is your soul. You know, the Marantia self. You know, they're only connected through the adjuster. Okay? And we came to recognize, as we've thought about how that whole system works, is that any harmony that you have, you know, in the mind of this mortal self is in resonance with the soul. You know, that adjuster linkage allows there to be this resonance that you can set up. It reinforces, you know, harmony. That in any harmony you establish, the adjuster can duplicate his soul, and then the soul turns around and reinforces that harmony. You begin to set up a positive reinforcement mechanism of relationship to God the Mother, relationship to the cosmic harmony. Okay. So just as you have this mortal self, this domain of the mortal self, and this transcendent domain of the Maharaja self, you know, in this synchronicity, you've got it here. You have the whole cosmos. And then there's the Supreme Being, above, transcendent of that. The Supreme Being is an absentite fact. This is the whole finite cosmos. Transcendent of that is the Supreme Being. He's the oversoul. Okay? And there's a resonance. You can think of the cosmic harmony, you know, of this whole, you know, that is there because of the individuality of the whole, is in resonance with the innate harmony of the Supreme Being. You know, and which is the chicken and which is the egg thing? They're together. They're in synchrony. So to begin to see that the supreme being is like your soul. You know, you're not a Marantia-minded self. It's separate from you right now. It's transcendent. You're an adjutant-minded mortal self. Okay? But there is this soul that you can begin to set up this resonance with. And why can you do that? Because there's a pattern on high of that. That didn't come out of nowhere. The entire finite is built like that. That's why you're built like that. Okay? And what is the key mechanism for linking the oversoul with the cosmic whole? They've emphasized it right from the beginning, the Trinity. You know, I'm pointing out that similarity between the Trinity and the adjuster, trying to get you to recognize this. So in the same way that the adjuster, you know, which is top of the mother-like column, yeah, yeah. Right, is supplying this linkage. See, that innate harmony that's in the Supreme Being is reflected down into the cosmos as the cosmic harmony of the Mother. That's the relationship between the two. He, she. All right, so
I did ask the thought adjuster to start building my soul like you suggested. I don't know how far he's gotten.
It's a good thing to do. But, you know, to have gotten to the end of your life and to be told, you know, you could have just given it permission. Why didn't I think of that? Yeah, give it permission. You know, and of course, what you're that's a creature willingness. You know, now make sure it goes beyond just that recognition. But, you know, think of actually manifesting it, making it substance that transforms the way you live. So it comes out, it manifests. If it's just that recognition, it stays in there where no one can see it and you don't benefit from it in your life. You know, connect it to the, you know, to a relationship to the Mother. Okay, one other little thing to notice here, where they, you notice the, you've got this triplet here at the beginning. And notice not only what it is, but what it isn't. Should be immediately thinking of a chart here. Okay, notice it doesn't, I mean, it has the truth, the intellectual meaning, okay, and it has the goodness, or the spiritual value, okay, but it doesn't have the fact of the physical things. Okay, it's not just an actuality statement. Even though they're talking about just the Supreme, not God the Supreme. It's in the paper called God the Supreme. But, you know, that's, you know, remember we've talked about the actuality of the triplet, and then, you know, the reality, you know, where it goes to beauty, truth, and goodness, instead of merely fact, truth, and goodness. Okay. You know, and harmony, see, personality. So they're encouraging you to see this whole picture, just like they were invoking up in the preface there of potential to actual, and that's all very like this. But then when you begin to bring in the reality, when the Mother, the focalizer, you know, the upholder begins to come into it, you know, this block spreads itself through here. You know, it seeks a unity of these three. Okay? And you very directly that harmony becomes most immediately manifest in it as a difference in quality, in that fact becomes beauty and things become a visible harmony. Okay? A patterned cosmos. up there in the very first paragraph of the preface, the will of the first source and center, you know, the will of God is the purpose of the first source and center. It's eternalized in the everlasting patterns of paradise. Okay, paradise is beautiful. It's not just a thing. It's beautiful. Why? Because it's patterned. And what is pattern? You know, it's the eternalization of that purpose coming from the personality. That's why they're so fundamentally linked together as one and the same thing in the first source and center. And see, that's, and like we've just been talking about, that's what the Supreme is trying to do. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to bring power, and personality together, you know, as a conjoint expression.
So the Isle of Paradise is a thing, but since it's so perfectly beautiful from the pattern of eternal personality, it feels personal.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about it as a living, even. But, you know, you obviously are going to get a little confused if you try to take it too far. You know, it's important to kind of to keep the distinction, but begin to recognize how they're linked. You know, you have the spirit substance of the eternal Son as just an actuality. You add personality, now it's a reality. It's patterned. It's spirit pattern. It's the same way over here. You have the material substance of the Isle. It's an actuality. But then you add energy pattern, which usually is called pattern, you know, and make it a reality. Pattern is added to both of them. You know, purposing is added to both of them. And initially, it's hard to think of that in totally parallel fashion. They're trying to give you some help here in starting to at least see how, well, I can go here and I can link that to here and then kind of get back to here. You know, start with that, go to personality, then to pattern, then back to it. But the more challenge yourself to see it simultaneously, you know, so that because the problem there is you don't want to get it, you know. The Isle of Paradise and the Eternal Son are equal, not one above the other. It's very important to keep that in mind so that you don't distort your entire view of the world you live in. You don't let your spirit eye be dominant over your material eye. You have to bring the two together on equal terms.
When I was walking through the Grand Canyon, you're just hit with the beauty.
Yeah.
And what I did, and I experienced this with other people, was personalize that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one time in particular where it was just so obvious that this place had been sculpted all those millions of years by the Universe Mother Spirit for me for that moment. And all I could do was just say thank you. I mean, but how grand is that? I mean, it's just intense.
And see, now take that to heart. See, that in itself is a challenge to this wanting to put spirit, above. I mean, no, you know, intellectually, conceptually, you know, we can do what we just did. We go to personality and we go over to pattern. But notice how you experienced it. You saw the beauty first.
It's the gateway.
Right. It's the same way with the Supreme. You will first recognize the actuality of the Almighty.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, you will begin to recognize the reality. And that's the Mother.
Yeah.
Okay. But first, you know, you experience the Almighty, the beauty of the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a Hubble photo or something. Okay. All right. That oversoul, that's one of the really key things that they're trying to do to transform, you know, and to clarify in your mind the he, she, and it in the picture. The he is like your soul. You know, you are not a Maranja-minded self right now. You know, and there isn't a supreme being right now, you know, from this time viewpoint. There's a Mother and an Almighty. There's the Universal Mother and the Almighty Supreme. Here.
One thing, the use of the term oversoul, you know, in the authors saying we refuse to use terms that are just made up.
Mm-hmm.
The oversoul is not made up.
No.
It's a key feature of the Transcendentalist movement in that movement in America, which was really, in many respects, you could look at as a metaphysical push to try to realize the supreme in religious experience by people like Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau. So I bring that up because there's something to be learned from the fact that that term is coming from there and is being applied in this context.
Yeah, and again, it's just like I said before we started reading tonight. Mm-hmm. Notice as humans have tried to extrapolate, you know, their immediate sense of self to try to understand what God might be. Okay, they've done lots of things. One of the things that they've done after, you know, centuries, millennia of ruminating, you know, you can spawn the notion of an oversoul. And the revelers are pointing out, well, okay, that's progress, but notice still how, you know, the supreme being, that's an individuality designation. Still. You're just bringing in more and more of the whole individuality picture. Can you take up the challenge of the fifth epical revelation to go beyond these limitations of your individuality viewpoint? No matter how much you think you're trying to not be limited to it, you really end up still being pretty much limited to it.
Mm-hmm. So the idea, though, being take that kernel of that original idea and see how they're trying to augment it here.
Right. You know, and again,
most people don't have a kernel of an idea.
Right.
Oversoul comes in oversoul.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, just the fact that it's here is pointing out that isn't some bizarre random thought. That is the result of a sincere attempt to see more of the picture. And they did. They saw more of the picture. But it's just still the beginnings of the whole picture.
Right.
Ready?
Yep.
In the persons of the supreme creators, the gods have descended from paradise to the domains of time and space, there to create and to evolve creatures with paradise attainment capacity who can ascend thereto in quest of the Father. This universe procession of descending God-revealing creators and ascending God-seeking creatures is revelatory of the deity evolution of the Supreme, in whom both descenders and ascenders achieve mutuality of understanding, the discovery of eternal and universal brotherhood. The Supreme Being thus becomes the finite synthesis of the experience of the perfect creator cause and the perfecting creature response.
Okay. So, I mean, you should already see a lot of that because I've presaged so much in these previous paragraphs, like the end of the preface there, you know, the bidirectional. Okay. Now they're just adding to that. To see this finite synthesis when all is said and done, that is the Supreme Being. How that comes into existence, you know, to better appreciate those two things that come together as one, in a synthesis. You notice it's not a synthesis of the perfect and the imperfect. It is a synthesis of the perfect and the perfecting. Few things are more key to the fifth epical revelation than that. To stop seeing yourself for what you aren't. To actually see yourself for what you are. You aren't imperfect. You are perfecting. Imperfect is what you aren't. It's not what you are. Okay? And the key here, the superadditive consequence of the relationship between that which is perfect and that which is perfecting is that which is perfected. That's how this works. The perfecting enter havona, come into relationship with the perfect. The superadditive consequence of that relationship is that which is perfected. and notice the pattern. Okay, when all is said and done there, the perfecting has been absorbed into the perfected. The perfect still stands. Okay, like I said, the Almighty is absorbed into the Supreme, but the Mother still stands. Okay, it's the same pattern. Because it's literally the same thing. Okay? One is in the micro, one is in the macro. Okay? And again, to see this, you know, they're trying to give you all these different ways that you can begin to appreciate this. In the same way that you have a perfect creator cause coming down and a perfecting creature response comes up. Okay? Remember when we went through total deity? We said that you can understand the Supreme as being composed of two facets, an action facet and a reaction facet. The perfect creator cause, the action facet, that's the Mother. The reaction facet's the Almighty. Those two together as one. The superadditive consequence of the relationship between the Almighty and the Mother is the Supreme. And when all is said and done, the Almighty is now within the Supreme. The Mother goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? You made this point quite often, perfecting instead of imperfect. Mm-hmm. Not too long ago, I read the foreword, and the foreword, you know, has imperfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And you know, so do you want to address that when we get to the forward?
Yeah, we can. We can talk about it. I mean,
people will get, at least I got my mind, you know, I have to say to people, well, it does say in the book imperfect, but, you know, but I know that.
I mean, the word imperfect is in here. Right. It's not like you ignore that, but it's just to understand where it fits into the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, a good example of making that which objectively is not an actuality, subjectively an actuality. You know, if you really want to see yourself as imperfect rather than perfecting, if you, you know, actually don't just conceptualize that, but you know, in the doing of the will of God exhibition, if you actually exhibit that, what's that called? It's called evil. Okay, if you really want to embrace the notion that you are imperfect, okay, if you actually do that, the universe has a name for that. It's called evil. Okay? That's what that is. You don't want to do that. You know, that starting out with, I mean, perforce we are, like we said, we have these flatlander notions, these dichotomies of perfect and imperfect. You know, and even some sort of wild-eyed theory, you know, that you can take the two and create some synthesis. No. Okay? A true synthesis is the relationship between two somethings. One of those is a something and the other is a nothing. Okay? There is no true relationship there. So, you know, to just very get this very clear, and, you know, this is the point at which it's time to really leave the dichotomies behind, because it's impossible to understand the Supreme if you're still stuck in that flatlander dichotomy mode. And like they're just saying, if you don't understand the Supreme, you don't understand yourself, because you're in the Supreme. You reflect the Supreme. You know, there's an endless number of parallels that they can introduce, like they already have in just these few paragraphs, of this parallel. How you reflect the Supreme and the Supreme reflects you. To understand one is to understand the other.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they list imperfect in the beginning of the book. And the Supreme from, areas.
And from a purely Father viewpoint, a spiritual consciousness eye, that's what the universe looks like. It looks like perfect and imperfect. See what a great disservice it is to close the other eye, try to get by with just your spiritual eye. That's what it sees. It sees a fallacy. and a very dangerous fallacy too. It doesn't see any truth.
Well, maybe that's why I looked at this as the mother is just fluff.
Right. You have to have both. You know? You know, and the, and just like we were just pointing out, you know, again, the it's not the father that directly engages the matter. You know, that material consciousness. It's the mother. It's through the mother that you can actually open that eye in true fashion. You know, where the father is, you know, is definitively opened the spiritual eye. Okay. See, this is what they're trying to teach us in the fifth ethical revelation. It's what, you know, they didn't try to do in the fourth ethical revelation. Jesus didn't try to do it because he had to do first things first. First, you have to get the Father engaged. That initiates. But once you have it, if you don't, in the fullness of time, get the other eye truly open, the just what the what you get from the fourth ethical revelation starts to become dangerous. If all you have is spiritual upliftment and no cosmic awakening, mm-hmm. there's, you know, the soul system is going to become more and more unstable. That's why this is an emergency revelation. That's why this is here. Because it is now ripe. The spiritual eye is open. None of us need, you know, unless we're just primitive, you know, any of us who are actually have some awareness and might actually be reading this book, we don't need our spiritual eye opened more right now. We need a cosmic awakening so that we don't go flying off into oblivion without, you know, not recognizing the difference between true and false liberty. The liberty, you know, that your spiritual eye can see, if that isn't properly tied to the cosmos, that, you know, no problem resulting from the Lucifer rebellion, you know, I mean, okay, you know, go back and read that sentence again, you know, in the true and false liberty. You know, this is the key to the fifth ethical revelation, beginning to see this. And you see, it's all coming together here to start to really see this, what the Supreme is telling us, that is so, so different than just a greater awareness of the Father. It's what we need. It's what will allow us to actually take spirit through mind to matter and begin to transform the world that we live in. Okay? Because spirit doesn't directly connect. It's only through the mother that you can actually connect and transform something. So that, you know, change without growth is potential evil. Okay, again, that's, you can't just somehow magically change. It has to go through the mother to ensure its conformity with the cosmos. If you just change arbitrarily based upon your spiritual consciousness, that recognition of your of connection to the Father, that's really dangerous. Very dangerous. All right.
I was just thinking, this is quite a beautiful idea
mm-hmm.
about both the senders and ascenders.
Mm-hmm.
Achieve mutuality of understanding, the discovery of eternal and universal brotherhood.
Yeah.
You know, I think when we've read the statement by Jesus about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man,
right.
we've tended to think of the brotherhood of man as including, you know, all the human beings.
It goes beyond that.
We can become aware of, but this seems to me like
all members.
A much greater yeah. concept.
Yes, all members in a cosmic system, you know, including the creators. Okay, no members of the cosmic system are connected with each other except in relation to the whole and through the individuality of the whole. All. Okay? There is no harmony amongst the creators, no harmony amongst the creatures, and no harmony. Super additive harmony amongst the creatures and the creators. You know, the Supreme is creature, creator, unifying deity. Okay? It's all through the individuality of the whole. Doesn't matter if you're a creator. It's still through the individuality of the whole. Only. It's the only way. Okay? You know, just because you're a creator doesn't mean you're magical.
Yeah.
know, yeah, you have to literally have some means of connecting. You know, because even though creator personalities are distinctly different from creature personalities, they're still personalities. They're absolutely distinct. They have absolutely no relationship with any other personality in and of themselves, you know, as a pure father fact. It's only because the father and mother are in perfect coordination that personalities aren't, you know, that God didn't create an infinite number of island universes. God the Father didn't create an infinite number of island universes when he spread personalities out into infinity. Okay. All right.
The grand universe contains the possibility of and ever seeks for complete unification. And this grows out of the fact that this cosmic existence is a consequence of the creative acts and the power mandates of the Paradise Trinity, which is unqualified unity. This very Trinitarian unity is expressed in the finite cosmos and the Supreme, whose reality becomes increasingly apparent as the universes attain to the maximum level of Trinity identification.
A whole bunch of things that are already obvious there, but just notice again, stress that. See, whose reality. Okay, first you'll notice the actuality, the Almighty. Okay, but see, the reality, the mother, becomes increasingly apparent as the universe has attained the maximum level of Trinity identification. See, mother. Okay. This is what they're challenging you to do. Can you begin to not so limit to yourself to just what is immediately apparent, the Almighty? Can you start to have the reality within that can see the reality without, the mother? Or do you just have actuality within that can see the actuality without, the Almighty? Can you begin to challenge yourself to see the whole of the Supreme? Not just the power pattern, but also the personal purposive part, the mother. And see how. That's the key. That's what you've been looking for. That's what gets you out of just being a part, you know, in a vast, you know, dark, cold universe. Okay, you know, if you can actually see the individuality of the whole, that's what transforms your view of the universe.
Well, this is making me feel so different because this whole infrastructure set up to for us, the lowliest of creatures. So how important are we?
Infinitely.
Yeah, I'm feeling totally important right now. Yeah. I mean, not humbly, yeah, though.
Yeah. Crazy. You have, right, because you're seeing your potential. That's what gives you value. As an actuality, you're pretty tiny. But the potentiality that, you know, that lies ahead, the future reality of what you are becoming is infinite.
And they're all doing it.
Yeah, it's all.
The whole thing is for us.
Yeah. And everyone else, too.
Well, but they're getting growth, too.
But, see, you know,
we're the smallest piece.
It's important. Yeah, I mean, it's important to see the truth of what you're saying. To not see that as it's all about me. Right. To see the truth of it. Don't let your initial animal mind inclination and fear throw that thought out. Penetrate through the falsehood and see the truth of that. You know? God loves you as if you were absolutely the only being in the universe. It is all about you in that linkage. That linkage is nothing but you. That linkage to you is only for you. It's not for the eternal Son. It's not for the conjoint actor. It's not for any of the master architects. It's not for the consummator of universe destiny. It's only for you. Period. Okay. That's the truth of that thought. Divorced of all, you know, of the fear that you might immediately bring in. It's like, oh, wait a minute, I'm starting to make the whole universe revolve around me. When God the Father looks at you, the whole universe does revolve around you. As a matter of fact, you are the universe. Everything else is invisible. The real you.
But that's that.
Right.
What's the motivation?
Then can you combine that father recognition with the whole? You know, can you not just collapse into that? Can you stay connected to the whole and hold on to that? That absolute recognition that you're absolutely valuable, absolutely infinitely valuable, at the same time that everyone and everything is else is too. Every automaton is absolutely valuable, you know, et cetera. You know, in some grand sense, it all comes together.
You need an all-armed counterbalance.
Yeah, right.
And there's so much support.
That, you know, that's what the revelation is trying to give you, the fullness of the I am, but only because they're going to try to give you the fullness of the all are to stabilize that. You know, why we had in these papers, like I said, before they start to really awaken you, to, you know, just sort of even experience the I am even greater, they put two words in all caps unity and all caps diversity. Yeah, yeah. You need both of those, okay, so that you're, so that the bolder and the more, you know, the bigger the font of the unity gets in your mind, you know, there's something of equal size next to it, okay, they all are, so that you're stabilized. All right.
Where are we?
Good question.
The will.
Yeah, yeah.
The will. Yeah.
You are here. Somewhere in the grand universe.
The will of the Creator and the will of the creature are qualitatively different, but they are also experientially akin. Where creature and creator can collaborate in the achievement of universe perfection. Man can work in liaison with God and thereby co-create an eternal finality. God can work even as humanity in the incarnations of his sons, who thereby achieve the supremacy of creature experience.
Yeah, and the supremacy there should challenge you to think the whole picture. Pretty sure we've talked about this a little bit. You know, what is the, as a descending sun, you know, they're invoking that descending, ascending, you know, as a descending sun, you know, finishing the seven bestowals, a creator son has acquired a measure of the nature of God the Supreme. So that's what they're doing. Supremacy of creature experience, acquiring a measure of the nature of the Supreme. You, the other one there, as a, you know, the finaliter, you, by the time you get to paradise, you know, you're both experience, you're experientially akin, you know, because both of us are experiential, that means you're acquiring something all the time. There's always something that's being incorporated into you. So he's incorporating, you know, the Supreme, so he's fully incorporated his measure of relationship to supremacy. You are slowly incorporating a measure of the nature of God the Mother from here to paradise. Okay. That's what they're invoking there, and you'll see they want you to kind of think of that picture as you go forward here a little bit. So the, you know, sending, acquiring the Supreme, ascending, acquiring the Mother, because you're experientially akin, so you're both acquiring something. What is it? Oh. You know, he's a creator, so he's revealing God the Father. You know, and you're a creature, so you're seeking God the Father. Creators are always revealing, you know, and creatures are always seeking. I mean, eventually you might be revealing too, you know, but you're always seeking because you're a creature. And you're always revealing if you're a creator. And you're always acquiring because you're experiential. Okay? And then, you know, the question is just, you know, what exactly are you acquiring or revealing or seeking? Or okay.
The wonderful part of this, I think, is that word co-create.
Right.
And as you were talking about in the previous thing, they're pointing out perfecting super additive reaction to the perfect, mm-hmm. ends up with something more than the perfect, which is perfected.
Something so, transcendent of the perfect, transcendent of the perfecting. The perfected.
And so they're changing the word perfect. In our lexicon, perfect has a completeness to it.
Yeah.
In this way, they're saying perfect is fine, but it can be experiential beyond the perfect. Once you're a finality, you're perfect, but you're still perfecting.
Perfect is a hierarchy. The entire universe is a hierarchy. You know, just because you're perfect doesn't mean you're infinitely, absolutely perfect.
Right. So that's, I think, a key thing, one of the key revelations here.
Yeah.
Don't think of perfect as complete.
Yeah.
Think of it as even more possibility. It's how God got out of that,
right.
that problem of being infinite.
And again, see, I'll stress, what kind of a consciousness hears the word perfect and jumps all the way to infinity and absoluteness? Spiritual consciousness. That's, if you don't have the other eye open, that's the first thing that comes to mind. You know, and if you awaken some personality character, you know, and all you've got is that circumscribed point of view, you're just a couple steps away from absolutism of self, self-righteousness. Okay? Okay? Yeah, it's just a hop and a skip and a jump, and you're there.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, and they pointed that out, you know, back a little ways. You know, it's so important. Like I said, it's so important. You know, once you start to actually do something, that you're doing it, you know, with both eyes open. You know? So you don't run astray.
Well, perfect is the only word where if you use the adjectives more perfect or most perfect, it doesn't add to them.
Except in this country.
I mean, it doesn't. It has a completely different connotation than it would have with any other word. Those adjectives.
But in a sense, see, like he's just saying, I mean, you're trying to not make it so different. You're trying to see it in a hierarchical, everything is a hierarchy.
Yeah. And is it true that we're not just trying to be a clone of some perfect ideal which would make us all exactly alike? What we're becoming is perfect versions of ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know, and of course, technically, you're never going to be, you know, sort of directly perfect. You're going to be perfected.
Right.
You're going to come into relationship with that which is innately perfect, and through that relationship, you're going to become perfected. And that perfectedness then becomes a new starting point for even further growth.
Okay, I'm reading again.
Oh, yeah, we're reading again. Let's see, where are we? Oh, you got something? Oh,
yeah,
maybe not. Okay.
Idea of perfecting.
Yeah.
Can you relate that also to the perfecting of the individual personality?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
that's what I just said.
Perfecting spirit. Perfecting spirit. Your perfecting spirit is your growth. That's the definition of the word growth, is perfecting spirit. There's progressing mind. That's just development. But there's perfecting spirit. That's growth.
In the Supreme Being, creator and creature are united in one deity whose will is expressive of one divine personality. And this will of the Supreme is something more than the will of either creature or creator, even as the sovereign will of the Master Son of Nebadon is now something more than a combination of the will of divinity and humanity. The union of paradise perfection and time-space experience yields a new meaning value on deity levels of reality.
Again, see, super additive. See how, not surprisingly, they just talked about it directly, the super additivity that's going on in all these situations. And deity is lowercase again. trying to be very precise, in this whole bit of, a new meaning value, relating a value to new things, to give new meanings. So again, see, it's that related to those, the three potentials here, the triodity, the triodities that give us matter, mind, and spirit, this basic threefold actuality. And there's deity in lowercase, D again. See, I mean, it's all, they're trying to keep it all very tight here in the way they're talking about it.
One could say all things are becoming new.
Yeah, might even say that. Behold, perhaps in front of it.
Yep. The evolving divine nature of the Supreme is becoming a faithful portrayal of the matchless experience of all creatures and of all creators in the grand universe. In the Supreme, creatorship and creaturehood are at one. They are forever united by that experience which was born of the vicissitudes attendant upon the solution of the manifold problems which beset all finite creation as it pursues the eternal path in quest of perfection and liberation from the fetters of incompleteness.
So there they're using incompleteness. See? Yeah, think about how they're using it there. And notice the gentle little thing and how you should be ready to see it, because I tried to point out that they just pointed you to what was, you know, Michael doing as Jesus here in his seventh bestowal, you know, and acquiring that measure of relationship or nature of the Supreme, okay, and the whole notion that we have that what he was doing was called atonement, establishing atonement, at-one-ment. See it there, in the Supreme, creatorship and creaturehood are at one. That sentence is saying the true atonement associated with the seventh bestowal, see, is thus. Okay? Because he is, you know, bringing in a measure of that type of deity into his nature, the Supreme, the super additive consequence of the relationship between creature and creator, creature, creator, unifying deity, the Supreme. See? That's the at-one-ment, the atonement of Jesus. See? Again, it's, you know, they're not saying, I want you to expunge that notion that the word atonement has any relationship to Jesus. Does the Revelation say that? No. They say, there's a truth to that. What is it? You can't comprehend it until you begin to comprehend the Supreme. Then and only then will you discover the truth of the atonement of Jesus.
Truth, beauty, and goodness are correlated in the ministry of the Spirit, the grandeur of paradise, the mercy of the Son, and the experience of the Supreme. God the Supreme is truth, beauty, and goodness. For these concepts of divinity represent finite maximums of ideational experience. The eternal sources of these triune qualities of divinity are on superfinite levels, but a creature could only conceive of such sources as super truth, super beauty, and super goodness.
Okay, so now notice what they just did. See, they're pushing hard now. It's like, okay, I'm assuming you're getting this now. We're going to transform everything. We just transformed the atonement. Now we're going to transform something else that you thought you had all figured out. Okay? So they're starting you with, you have the truth of the Spirit, the beauty of paradise, and the goodness of the Son. Okay, you know, we've got an initial notion going with truth, beauty, and goodness that you have that sort of actuality of the Father, you know, and then the reality, the love of God the Father, and making that actuality, you know, literally spread through the Spirit, the Isle, and the Son, you know, is the truth of the Spirit, the beauty of paradise, and the goodness of the Son. Truth, beauty, and goodness of the Father is manifest through those three, and then the love of God the Father. Okay, what are they just trying to get you to understand? You know, those are finite words. Yeah. Okay, just like they said back in this first paper of these five, as you expand your conceptualization outward, no matter how far you think you're actually expanding it, trying to conceive of God, you know, God the Father, what you really reach is God the Supreme. Okay. You know, there's the truth, beauty and goodness of the Supreme and the love of God the Supreme. You know, the actuality and then the reality. The deity and the personalization of deity. Okay. Technically, now that once you begin to separate the Supreme from the Father, what you have to recognize then is that there's something beyond anything that you can currently even conceive of. You'd have to use different words. There's really the super truth, the super beauty, and the super goodness of the Father, and the super love of God the Father. Okay, can you feel comfortable with that? Are you willing to begin to actually let there be a recognition of the Supreme in there? Because that's what you're needing here. You're needing that other side. Okay? Because if you try to put all that in the Father, it's going to get overjuiced. Okay? Because the actuality is it's really taking you out of the whole grand universe. Okay? You're probably, going to be a little unstable. Okay?
You may not be able to materially sustain yourself very long here.
See, so that's what they're bringing in. To take that next step, literally, truth, beauty, and goodness are the Supreme. See, and they capitalized is, and love is God the Supreme.
I'm feeling some kinship with our Flatlander brothers.
Yeah, right. This is meant to really begin to throw back the horizons here in your mind.
Yeah. Michael, a creator. Reveal the divine love of the Creator Father for his terrestrial children. And having discovered and received this divine affection, men can aspire to reveal this love to their brethren in the flesh. Such creature affection is a true reflection of the love of the Supreme.
See how it doesn't end the way you thought that sentence was going to end. Are you ready for that ending? See, that's what they're asking you here. Right there, can you let the Supreme play that big a role in your understanding of God that you'll let that sentence end like that? Or do you refuse to have it end like that? No, I want it the love of the Father. Well, okay, you're getting a little beyond the picture. You need to keep yourself grounded in the cosmos. You're not on paradise yet. Okay, take it one step at a time.
The Supreme is symmetrically inclusive. The first source and center is potential in the three great absolutes, is actual in paradise, in the Son, and in the Spirit. But the Supreme is both actual and potential, a being of personal supremacy and of almighty power, responsive alike to creature effort and creator purpose. Self-acting upon the universe and self-reactive to the sum total of the universe, and at one and the same time the Supreme Creator and the Supreme Creature. The deity of supremacy is thus expressive of the sum total of the entire finite.
Okay, the deity of supremacy, the Mother and the Almighty here, together as the Supreme. Look at the sentence, all those clauses before that. Let's just break them down here. The Supreme is both actual and potential. How many times have we been talking tonight? We've been tying the word actual to the Mother and potential to the Almighty. So in that order. The Supreme is both the Mother and the Almighty. A being of personal supremacy and of almighty power. Personal purposes brought the mother and the Almighty. Responsive alike to creature effort and creator purpose. Okay. Think about that now. That's a little bit of a twist. They're trying to give you a lot of not so such simplistic ones, but that ties back to what we started out tonight with. Okay, so that creator purpose comes down. Okay. Okay, and what does it do? Goes across and generates the Almighty. That whole creature purpose, the sevenfold, or creator purpose, excuse me, you know, that whole sevenfold creators, that's what's behind, that's the engine behind generating the Almighty. Creature effort. See, notice what you're tied to, what your effort's tied to here. You know the pattern here. You know that first one's the mother. Do you understand now how that's the mother? Okay? I mean, as we grow, you know, like even thinking about just initially, where you demark it with the psychic circles, you're moving up this line, the mother line. Okay? You know, and what did we just say, you know, just a little bit above? What are you acquiring experientially? You know, greater nature, mother, God, the mother-like nature. Okay? That's what, you know, the fruit that your creature effort is bearing is God the mother likeness, the mother, okay, the Almighty. Self-acting upon the universe and self-reactive of the sum total of the universe. Action facet and a reaction facet. Self-acting on the universe, that's the mother. Okay. And self-reactive to the sum total, there's the sum again. Self-reactive to the sum total of the universe, that's the Almighty. Okay. And at one and the same time, the supreme creator and the supreme creature. And you go, wait a minute, doesn't that... No, this time creator is not capitalized. See? When it's capitalized, we're talking about these guys, like a creator, capital C, son. Okay? Okay? When we're talking about the supreme being both creator and creature, remember what they tell you? I mean, that whole functioning with a capital C, creator, the supreme being has done that, you know, one time, Magisan. What we're talking about here, when they talk about this supreme as both creator and creature, it's lowercase. You know, they're very careful about that. That's a lowercase c creator. That's the mother and the Almighty together as one. Okay, so over and over and over, giving you all these different ways because they're trying to get you to really understand this. It's like, well, do you get it when I point out a parallel like this? Well, how about a parallel like this? Well, how about one like this? How about one like this? How about one like this? You know, over and over, trying to give you all these different ways that you can see what kind of a twofoldness we're talking about. What's the difference between the mother and the Almighty? And hence, what's the real difference between the mother and the father? Because the universal father is at the top of this. And then there's this other column, the cosmic mother hierarchy. What is that? See? Now, that's what they're trying to teach you. Very, you know, one step at a time, building. And in the process, beginning to see things like the atonement and truth, beauty, and goodness in a whole new expanded light. Where you allow the Father to be more, you know, you give the Supreme everything you can sort of directly conceptualize, and you feel comfortable with that, and then you go, wow. And then there's the Father. It's everything that I can imagine there that the Supreme is, and how cool is that? But then there's the Father. Infinitely beyond that.
Put the word super in front of all the...
Yeah. But of course, you know what they tell you. Chris, what are you doing when you say six, the prefix super in front? You're sort of just extrapolating. Yeah. You know, the reality is that that power part, if you will, that's in the ultimate is maybe kind of sort of, you can start to think of it as a super almighty. But it's a very limited viewpoint. You know, they wouldn't even use when, they used if. Okay. When you're looking along that extrapolation line. So, it's, you know, and this ties into something that I've, it gets back to this, you know, to really not let yourself sell the word personality short. You've got to let personality be a fact that comes from the Father. so far beyond anything that you can even begin to conceptualize. Okay? So far removed from self. See, and only when you begin to be able to really imagine the self of the whole, the supreme, sort of, you know, the biggest self, and you extrapolate selfness, all you get is the supreme. Personality is something that, see, is way beyond even the most extrapolated self. Okay? That's where personality is, you know. And so this is part of what they're trying to get us to do, to break this impasse in philosophy that we've always had. All of the greatest minds that have tried to understand what we are, or, you know, or even tried to bring in what God is, this is one of the biggest stumbling points, is the inability to distinguish the words self and personality. And see, and what I'm trying to point out here is stress here. Use this to stress this. They are so different. I mean, they're infinitely different. And that's why basically everything that people have tried to thought is infinitely wrong. Because they've been one and the same thing. They couldn't be more different. And when you treat them to be identical, how true is your philosophy going to be? It's not. Just going to be just completely muddled.
The personality has to be the furthest reach. Because what else would sustain our continuity throughout our eternal progression? Mm-hmm. We have to have that potential. And the personality is what maintains our continuity as ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the Father.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, once you begin to have the functional levels of total deity, you know, even there you start to notice that the infinite one, you know, the reservoir out of which that personality comes from, that's beyond the universal Father. You know, the universal Father is on the third functional level. That personality is coming from a reservoir that's back behind that on the second level. And of course, they don't even, it's like, okay, now you got that, take it one notch even further. Make deity the first word that's defined in the foreword and not God. Something prior to personality, prior to the first source. Can you go all the way back to the first center in the Paradise Trinity? Can you go back to the universal one of infinity and the infinite? On the first functional level, that's kind of challenge. I mean, look what they're doing here. I mean, they're it's all here. That's the amazing thing about the fifth epical revelation. How far beyond revealing up to the constellation level is this? I mean, like, you know, the only thing that Machiavelli Melchizedek could do, you know, because he was still functioning in the post-Adamic dispensation. I mean, they've just thrown it all those constraints out. This is going as far back as it goes.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting, because the seventh bestowal was the achievement of supremacy. And Michael is the planetary prince of this planet. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And he achieved supremacy here. Mm-hmm. And so now, in his generous nature, he's giving it.
Yeah, and if this revelation that takes it all the way to the first functional level of total deity, if this is just presaging what's to come, you know, it's here to foreshadow what's to come. Where does that leave you? What is to come? There are no constraints that can be put on it. Okay, none. Because there's nothing, I mean, there is nothing, you know, I mean, to go beyond the first level is to go beyond infinity, you know, into eternity. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's to go into the endless cycles of the infinite eternal ellipse. I mean, you know, okay. I mean, it's okay. Everything is in play. Everything is in play. So there's no predicting. You know, you can speculate all you want about Machiavelli Melchizedek and, you know, and the second coming of Michael and all this sort of stuff. That's really in the bit. This says, you know, really, that's pretty simplistic speculation.
Yeah, it's like the child.
That's nothing like what really happened.
The child wanting the quantitative more instead of the adult qualitative greater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And pointing that out.
So anyone seeking compensation for how united our spirit is would seem to go beyond what's been given here.
Yeah. I don't feel benighted anymore, frankly.
Right.
I may be in a benighted world, but I'm not benighted anymore. How about you? You know, I think it's time to take a stand in that inner life. It's time that self needs to be controlled and told, no, you are not imperfect. You are perfecting. You know, take up the mantle. You know?
I think the fact that Michael was crucified, He couldn't believe it himself at first. He had to say, are you sure that I have to go through this? Something very unusual happened here. Mm-hmm. Very unusual. And this book is not only catching us up for all the lost time, but it's thrusting us way forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's happening here is... I don't think it's ever happened before anywhere in the universe.
Most likely. It's highly unique.
Highly unique.
Right. And, you know, you and I are here today and gone tomorrow, but how interested do you think you'll be in checking on the broadcast about what's happening back on your nativity sphere? How interested might you be?
Well, what if we're going to witness it?
You could. You never know.
What if?
Even the primary supernovim says any hour.
That's right.
But he also knows he could be wrong.
but the weight of the evidence is here in this book.
Because
right
winds
now
are hard to say. When it comes down to it, you probably can only say if.
But here's the deal. Here's the caveat with all of that. You know, we keep looking for it to happen to us. And everything about this paper, you know, has been underscoring, you know, the if portion. How much are we willing to do our part to make it happen? You know, you think Melchizedek is going to say, is going to come down here just to deprive us? Just to deprive us of the joy of adding to this thing? He's going to say, oh, come on, I'll do it all for you.
No way.
Not a chance.
Matter of fact, probably the more that, you know, that a lot of us think that we'd like to have Mr. Fiat, you know, come and fix everything with a magic wand, it probably won't happen.
Well, it's like wishing for that, you know, constantly pining away for that perfect woman or whatever. You know, I remember as a teenager, you know, God, if only the right one would come along. If only the right one would come along. And you know how close you get to that one. The more you hope, the further it gets. And the other way around on this thing is do our little parts and find that alignment the way this passage, it's never struck me this way. That's the beauty of study group. That's the beauty of studying with other people. When you come to that, and you come to the realization of that if. Well, what if Jerry and Joan and Jean and I come into an alignment and transcend a few of these things and understand that our connection with God is our closest way to alignment? And then maybe Melchizedek said, well, they're ready. Mm-hmm. The sons of bitches, they're ready. They finally got off their job.
Alright.
Well,
gotta wrap up pretty quick here.
Before
it gets too late.
I don't believe that if was a doubtful. I believe ifs are conditional.
Yeah, it's not an expression of doubt. It's an expression of humility.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Knowing that even, you know, if you're a pretty high order being, you know, you're still pretty lowly relative to infinity. You know, and you just don't want to assume you've got it all figured out. All right, let's take a moment here to see if we can realityize some of these thoughts.